NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, Jamie T. Und er kommt gleich zu Wort. Aber erstmal Musik von seinem aktuellen Album Carry On The Grudge. Hier ist Rabbit Hole. Das war Rabbit Hole von Jamie T. Von dem aktuellen dritten Album Carry On The Grudge. Und Jamie ist bei mir im Studio. Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. And very relieved to see you because we thought you weren't going to make it ever back to Hamburg.
Yes, yeah.
Because last time was cancelled at very short notice.
That's right, yeah, it was, unfortunately. But we're here now, so.
Right. And everybody's going to be there tonight, we hope.
We hope so. I mean, we played in Berlin last night and the place was packed. So, I've got to say thank you to everyone for their patience, really.
Right. Yeah. Ja, also die letzte Tournee war bekanntlich kurzfristig abgesagt worden und sie haben gestern in Berlin gespielt und es war ausverkauft und heute wird es auch ausverkauft sein in Hamburg und er freut sich darüber, dass die Leute so geduldig waren, dass sie so lange auf ihn gewartet haben. And of course it's well documented the fact that you were away for so long and everybody was complaining that you were being away for so long. But did it seem like a hiatus to you or were you so busy? You were blissfully unaware that everybody was waiting for the next record.
I was aware that it was a hiatus to some from my own kind of side of things, but I wasn't aware at the time that people were waiting around for anything, which I don't think they were for a long time, to be honest. But, I certainly had taken some time off and never stopped writing, but, I had kind of wanted to stop playing live shows for a bit and stop being on tour. So in that circumstance, it was a hiatus, but I never stopped working. So for me, it didn't seem so, maybe to the public, it seems like there were just some dead years that nothing happened. But to me, I was still pretty busy, really.
You weren't lying on the beach in the Bahamas for 7 years?
I wish I had the money to do that, but no.
Okay. Ja, viele Leute waren der Meinung, dass die Pause viel zu lang war, also 7 Jahre. Das ist natürlich wirklich eine lange Zeit für die heutigen Verhältnisse. Normalerweise macht man eine Platte alle 2 Jahre und er hat sich also 7 Jahre Zeit gelassen zwischen den beiden Platten. 5 Jahre meine ich, aber immerhin ziemlich lange. Und er meinte, er war sich wirklich nicht bewusst, dass es so eine lange Zeit war. Und er glaubt es erstmal, haben die Leute nicht wirklich auf ihn gewartet. Also ist es nicht, dass sie so ungeduldig waren. Und irgendwann nach ein paar Jahren haben sie schon festgestellt, ja, wann kommt die neue Platte? Aber war die ganze Zeit aktiv, hat die ganze Zeit durchgearbeitet. Es ist nur, dass er keine Lust mehr hatte, live zu spielen. Er wollte einfach eine Pause haben, was Tourneen betrifft. Und deshalb war es eine Zwangspause, die er ja wirklich gebraucht hat, aber hat die ganze Zeit weiter komponiert. And what does that actually mean for you in realistic terms, keeping on writing? Does that mean you literally kind of write every day? I mean, or do you just wait for the great inspiration to come?
Well, I think looking back on it, I probably didn't write for a few months during that period. And, my parents were quite ill for quite a few of those years. So I certainly didn't write for some periods of it. And it did take me a while to get the ball rolling again. Because when the ball is rolling, I tend to write every day. But I did find that it took me a while to get back into that, to get back to that. But I'm thankful to say that it comes more naturally again now. I've managed to kind of almost train myself back up into that kind of way of writing, which is, I think, the most natural way for my kind of style of writing to come about. You know?
Jamie hat tatsächlich ein paar Monate gar nichts geschrieben. Also diese Pause eingelegt hat er erstmal gar nichts gemacht. Und das hat auch einen anderen Grund gehabt, einen anderen Hintergrund. Seine Eltern waren ziemlich krank. Und er war natürlich dementsprechend besorgt und kam nicht wirklich zum Schreiben. Aber nachdem er diese Pause gewissermaßen überwunden hat, dann kam der Ball wieder ins Rollen, wie er sagte. Und er meinte, das ist sehr wichtig für ihn, dass er wirklich so in Gang kommt. Und wenn er wirklich in Gang kommt, dann fließt alles, fließt die Inspiration und dann schreibt er jeden Tag. Und das passt auch im Ersten zu seiner Art von Songwriting, dass er tatsächlich permanent in Übung braucht. Und das ist sowas wie eine tägliche Beschäftigung ist. So we're going to hear a song from the debut album now. It seems like a long time ago. Wir hören jetzt ein Stück von dem Debütalbum von 2007. Panic Prevention hieß das Werk. Und hier ist das Stück Sheila. Das war Sheila von dem Album Panic Prevention von Jamie T. Und Jamie ist bei mir im Studio. Of course, when you first started, a great deal was made about how you were this this really punky, brattish guy, this breath of fresh air with lots of attitude. And 7 years down the line, in hindsight, really, it's more about just a great bunch of songs, isn't it, really? And that's more important than anything else, don't you think? Do you think the attitude is still as important as it was in the early days? Or?
I think when you're young, it's important. I don't know if it's important, but it seemed instinctive to me to, you know, question everything and to always believe I was young and therefore I was right and you were wrong because I was young and I knew better than you. And I think that's something that music's great at. You know, youth are always right in music. And, you know, does that fade with time? Yeah, I think it should do. And I think it has. Whether I'm any less brattish, I'm not quite sure that's the case. It's a self-preservation instinct for me to have been like that because I was always kind of worried about what people thought of my music and how that would affect me. I didn't really want anyone's opinions or anything to affect me. So I was quite, defensive in those terms because I didn't feel I needed anyone's appreciation and certainly never felt I'd had any acceptance before that and didn't want it, you know, in a musical term either. So I think that's a good thing as a young artist to have. You know, you want to carry that on for as long as possible, but, you know, try and age with some grace, I suppose.
Als er angefangen hat, dann war sein Image sehr präsent. Er galt als sehr rebellischer junger Typ, bisschen trotzig, ein bisschen frech und ein bisschen ordinär auch noch. Und ich meinte im Nachhinein, wenn man wirklich zurückblickt, dann geht es eigentlich in erster Linie um wirklich tolle Songs, über 3 Platten verteilt. Und er meinte, das stimmt schon, aber am Anfang war die Attitüde ihm schon sehr wichtig, weil er hatte schon eine bewusste rebellische Haltung, er wollte alles in Frage stellen. Aber wirklich der Meinung, dass er Recht hatte und die anderen hatten Unrecht und das wollte er deutlich machen und er weiß nicht, ob er wirklich weniger frech und aufsässig ist. Eigentlich ist er das immer noch, aber schon ein bisschen reifer geworden. Und als er ganz jung war, ging es wirklich nur darum, sich selbst im Prinzip zu retten, meinte er. Er konnte das einfach nicht ertragen, von anderen Leuten beeinflusst zu werden und von anderen Leuten unter Druck gesetzt zu werden. Er war sehr unangepasst vom Naturell her. Und er wollte einfach nicht die Meinungen anderer Leute eigentlich hören. Aber er hat versucht, das so lange wie möglich hinzuhalten. Aber er meinte, irgendwann muss man mit ein bisschen Würde alt werden. Right, so do you think there's a track on this latest album which has the greatest similarity to like your first material, do you think? Where that's still preserved, that early instinct.
That early instinct, may I have a look?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure, you know, there are certainly some that... I mean, I always think Peter certainly has some of that kind of instinct to it. You know, I think as a solo artist, it's also something that you are on your own in the whole circumstance of it. You don't have a band and all these things that make life slightly easier when you're in the limelight of it or the public eye. So it's slightly different when you're on your own and... I think it presents itself differently. And I like that song, Peter. I think that...
There's something quite intense about it, which is probably that way because you don't have a band of six.
Yeah, there's the only people I can fall out with is myself. You know, so when you're kind of sitting there and having artistic differences with yourself, it's a strange world, you know, to live in.
Right. Yeah, it can be the downside of that, because that you don't have anybody to support you.
Yeah, there's certainly that, but at the same time, you know, all the decisions fall on me and there's a positive in that. As much as there are downsides to it, I can do musically what I want and, you know, but I have always wanted to be in a band. That's always where I kind of really felt I wanted to be. It was out of, what's the word? I just ended up a solo artist because my band split up, basically.
Right. Okay.
So, you know...
And you just realise you're onto a good thing, though, once you start
kind
on your...
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. Ja, wir hören gleich das Stück Peter von dem aktuellen Album Carry On The Grudge. Er meint, das ist schon typisch eigentlich, also zwar von seiner neuen Musik, aber gleichzeitig ist er in ihn auch an sein, also allererste Platte, also der Instinkt von früher ist eigentlich noch spürbar. Es könnte auch ein Stück von früher sein. Er sagt, dass es letztendlich einfacher für ihn ist, Musik zu machen, weil er ein Solokünstler ist, weil er muss auch nichts mit irgendjemandem absprechen. Er kann einfach die Entscheidung alle alleine treffen. Und das ist vom großen Vorteil. Er streitet höchstens mit sich selbst, aber damit kommt er klar. Er wollte eigentlich nie ein Solokünstler sein. Es war eigentlich sein Wunsch, eine Band zu haben. Und der einzige Grund, warum er ein Solokünstler geworden ist, ist, weil seine Band tatsächlich sich getrennt hat und ihm blieb nichts anderes übrig. Und dann stellte er fest, dass es doch gut geht, wenn er alleine spielt. Hier ist jetzt Peter von dem Album Carrying the Grudge von Jamie T. So, das war Peter von dem Album Carrying the Grudge von Jamie T. Und Jamie ist bei mir in Studio. I think that over the years, your songwriting has gained in clarity, I think. There's a very kind of clear vision to it now, where in the early days it seemed to be a bit hit and miss, a bit sloppy at times. But I mean, again, you're a bit older now, so is that artistic skill something which has just come just by force of habit, or is it something you've consciously had to really forge?
It's a hard question to answer. You know, my first thought, my gut reaction to that is a sad one, really, because, you know, the hit and missness of the first albums to me sounds like a freedom of an artist who's not really kind of the innocence of it I really enjoy, and I think, you know, certainly getting older, you want to make, you know, I spent a lot of time on this new record cutting words out and things like that and wanting to be a bit more ambiguous with what I was saying. But also, I think some of that comes from just generally being beaten down into submission by playing music out and people not understanding where you're coming from. So I like the freedom of the first two albums. I like this record because of it's for completely different reasons, really, because it's me trying to work in boxes of music a bit more, and that's an art in its own right as well. So I kind of got a lot of enjoyment out of trying to work inside those boxes.
And did you have the feeling that people didn't really properly understand you sometimes? That's why you have to become more clear.
Certainly.
You were accused of being cryptic.
I think people didn't understand where I was coming from. I was jumping from genres a lot as well.
Yeah, okay.
In the early days. And you know, those two records now, seem to be standing the test of time and seem to be becoming more understood as time goes on, which is a wonderful thing for me to be able to see. But it's I think a lot of artists probably get that, you know, with some of their work gets misunderstood, maybe to some extent.
Right. Sagt, dass die ersten beiden Platten haben was so Freies an sich gehabt, hatte so ein Gefühl von Freiheit gehabt. Also gerade weil sie vielleicht, gerade das erste Album nicht so geschliffen war und nicht so vollkommen war, hatte durchaus Fehler, so die Platte, und war kein vollendetes Werk. Und er sagte, diese Freiheit vermisst er eigentlich. Deshalb ist seine Reaktion auf meine Frage ein bisschen traurig, weil er weiß, dass er jetzt einfach nicht mehr so jung und frei ist und er fühlt sich schon irgendwie gebunden. Und er hat, was dieses Album betrifft, Carry on the Grudge, wirklich versucht, geschickter zu sein, raffinierter zu werden. Was die Texte betrifft, wollte er zweideutig sein teilweise und auch mehr in klaren Schubladen denken, was die Musik betrifft. Und er denkt, dass er letztendlich weichgeklopft worden ist, weil er denkt, dass das Publikum erwartet, dass sie alles verstehen, was er macht. Und er soll irgendwie alles deutlich machen und wirklich verständlich machen. Und am Anfang war es ihm völlig egal, ob er vielleicht irgendwann missverstanden werden konnte. Und das ist auch in der Vergangenheit passiert, dass sie einfach Songs und Texte einfach nicht verstanden haben. Und das will er jetzt meiden. Er möchte schon deutlich und verständlich sein. Und er denkt, musikalisch ist auch jetzt herrscht eine größere Klarheit. Also früher hatte die Stilrichtung permanent gewechselt, dass die Leute teilweise nicht wussten, woran sie mit ihm waren. But of course, early on in your life, you obviously absorbed a lot of different types of music. You must have been a fan of quite a lot of different kinds of stuff. And was it effortless to you to just to absorb all that and spit it all out again, like The Clash did, so effectively?
Well, I think The Clash did it a lot more effectively. But I think the one thing I did learn from The Clash, and I have to phrase this right because I don't want it to come out wrong, is to have no respect for genre, really. But in the same breath, have the ultimate respect for it, to not try and become it. Do you know what I mean? To steal it and make it into your own thing is the highest of respect. And I always got so kind of frustrated with people who are like, you're not allowed to do that, you know. Well, why aren't I allowed to do it, you know? I'm not pretending I'm from the US and I'm a rapper, you know, from the US. I'm taking some of that and trying to make it part of what I'm doing, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. So I always loved the freedom I felt after listening to bands like The Clash and following that lineage to be able to do that and to make great music that is your own with the palette of every genre that you've ever listened to. And that's the fun about making records to me, and certainly was back then, was sitting in my room with a pile of records and sampling them, you know, all of them. I didn't care what they were, and just going through it and enjoying myself, you know. That was effortless, yeah.
Er sagt, es fiel ihm immer sehr leicht, verschiedene Musikrichtungen miteinander zu verbinden. Das fand er nicht anstrengend. Und er sagte, dass in Wirklichkeit ist es wichtig, dass man ein bisschen respektlos vorgeht. Man darf einfach nicht so ehrfürchtig sein, wenn es darum geht, Diebstahl zu begehen, was die Musik betrifft. Einfach so Ideen zu klauen von früher und dann zu versuchen, irgendwas Neues draus zu machen. Er sagt, in Wirklichkeit ist es keine Respektlosigkeit, weil letztendlich ist es eine Art Bewunderung, dass man überhaupt tatsächlich sich mit Musik von früher beschäftigen möchte und dass man versuchen will, was Neues auch damit irgendwie zu konstruieren und zu schaffen. Und deshalb ist eine Mischung aus respektvoll sein und auch respektlos sein, also paradoxerweise. Und er sagt, dass Leute haben ihm früher gesagt, dass er viele Sachen nicht machen darf. Also zum Beispiel ein Rapper sein, wenn er aus London kommt. Und er meinte, ja, warum nicht? Er versucht nicht wirklich wie ein amerikanischer Rapper zu sein, sondern er macht sein eigenes Ding draus, seine eigene Version. Und The Clash war ein großes Vorbild. Und er sagt ganz bescheiden, dass The Clash haben sowas viel effektiver hinbekommen, als er das jemals könnte. Also verschiedene Genres zu mischen und was ganz Neues zu schaffen. Aber The Clash war durchaus ein großes Vorbild. Und überhaupt, als junger Mensch hat er einfach einen Haufen Platten gehabt, die ihn inspiriert haben und hat es sehr genossen, einfach die Idee, so verschiedene Ideen miteinander zu verbinden. Right, so you say you're doing actually less genre hopping, like within particular tracks, you know.
Well, I think the genre hopping is probably a little less dangerous on that record than it was before, yeah, for yeah. Sure. I think also within songs, I think the song structures have changed a lot more on the newer stuff there. I spent a long time listening to songs and trying to, quite traditional songs. And I became quite kind of into writing songs within the box of, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus thing. Right. And kind of trying to master doing that. Because there's a beauty in the simplicity of that, I think. You know.
So your next album might sound like Carole King.
I think that was more this record, to be honest.
Okay.
Trying to do that. And work within those lines of verse, choruses and stuff. Whereas before, I used to get bored after, you know, verse, chorus and then maybe move off. And the structures weren't come that out there, but I think they were hard for people to understand.
Yeah, should we listen to Mary Lee? I think that's quite
That's probably a good one in that, yeah.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that, yeah. Er sagt, dass er tatsächlich versucht hat, was diese Sachen betrifft, also weniger beliebig zu sein, was die Musikrichtungen betrifft, versuchte schon ein einheitliches Feeling zu vermitteln und es sind eher konventionelle Songs drauf in diesem Fall. Das ist das erste Mal, dass er sich ernsthaft mit konventionellen Songwriting beschäftigt hat, sagt er. Und es gibt durchaus so Beispiele, also wo es wirklich so klassische Strukturen sind und er sagt, das ist auch eine Kunst für sich und das hat ihm sehr viel Spaß gemacht und wir hören jetzt ein gutes Beispiel dafür, ein repräsentatives Lied in dieser Hinsicht. Hier ist Mary Lee von dem Album Carry on the Grudge von Jamie T. So das war Mary Lee von Jamie T. von dem Album Carry on the Grudge. Of course, the lyrics behind that are quite simple and effective, I think. I mean, it's almost a bit, yeah, by your standards, a bit soppy, isn't it, I suppose, really?
Well, I don't know. I've been known for being quite soppy, to be
honest. But it's quite an extreme case.
Yeah, yeah, it is, I suppose, yeah.
But, yeah, why not, yeah. I mean, you got to the stage where you're actually getting nostalgic, you know, about sort of girls you knew and stuff.
I think I was always nostalgic about, you know, matters of the heart and things. I always find, you know, if I'm writing songs from my own experience, obviously, my experience goes into songs a lot. They're not necessarily about me, but it always takes a few years for events to kind of calm down in my my mind enough to be able to use them in, you know, in some kind of a sense to write a song really based on it. So reminiscing is kind of quite important, really, for songwriting, I think.
Well, like a delayed reaction.
Well, I suppose so. I think if I try and sit down and write a song about something that's just happened, maybe that day I can't do it. It's almost they become quite self-indulgent, or even more so. So it almost takes a few years to be able to kind of go back and write something about it, I find, with any kind of clarity enough for someone else to understand it.
Right, okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, so if in a couple of years there's a song about Hamburg on the album, we know it's something to do with this evening here.
Exactly. I mean, that song was probably written about something that happened in my life when I was 19.
Right. Okay, so it's taken you a while to come to terms with that, sure. Ja, er sagt, dass die Lieder sind schon tendenziell autobiografisch, also nicht im engen Sinne unbedingt, aber die Songs sind immer inspiriert von Ereignissen in seinem Leben, Sachen, die er erlebt hat irgendwie. Und er sagt oft irgendwie nachträglich, also mit wirklich so verspätete Reaktion, also weil er braucht immer ein paar Jahre, bis er irgendwas vernünftig verarbeiten kann. Das Lied gerade, das wir gehört haben, Mary Lee, hat er geschrieben über irgendwas, was er erlebt hat, als er 19 war. Und er meinte, das ist sehr typisch für ihn. Und ich sagte auch, dass der Song für seine Verhältnisse auch sehr so weich und romantisch ist und sentimental. Er meinte ja, dafür ist er manchmal bekannt. Also, dass er auch in der Vergangenheit ist. Es ist vielleicht nur so ein extremer Fall. Und er sagt, es ist tatsächlich so bei ihm, dass er kann nicht, wenn er irgendwas erlebt hat, positiv oder auch negativ, er kann nicht sofort das irgendwie in einem Song umschreiben. Er braucht wirklich Zeit, sogar Jahre, also bis er das tatsächlich vernünftig verarbeiten kann. And it seems like an obvious thing to say in a way, but obviously you're an artist of contrast in a way, which makes it quite interesting. On the one hand, you can be so tender and vulnerable, a song like Mary Lee, but you can also be kind of really raucous as well. And you can really kind of, it's a bit of rough and tumble with you as well. You know? So it sounds like the great sort of British rock tradition of a band like The Who, you know what I mean? All the Clash, and it's kind of. Do you see it in those terms, like a almost like a working class British ethic to be raucous and to be tender?
No, not at all. I think the brave thing in music, you know, it's easy to be raucous, but the brave thing is to kind of be, you know, tender with it as well, you know, and I think that's more scary, you know, than. Just being raucous for the sake of it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're agreeing with me then.
I suppose so, but I wouldn't put it down to class or anything like that.
Oh, I see, okay. You disagree with the class thing, yeah,
I wouldn't put it down to that. I just think, you know, rock and roll, it's the same thing people often talk about rock and roll as being rebellious, and it certainly is, but down to a key thing that people don't understand quite often. It's a religious, rock and roll was religious, you know? It's a lot of people, a lot of the biggest rock and roll artists were deeply religious people. And rock and roll kind of came out of their struggling of fighting the demons they felt towards, you know, how they felt and struggling with their religion. And that's the rebellion in it. So if you're talking about tender and raucous, that's exactly what rock and roll is.
Yeah.
It's someone going out, Johnny Cash, you know, and then coming back and going, what have I done? And him trying to carry his sins for the rest of his days through the rock and roll. So I would say that's rock and roll, isn't it?
Ja, Jamie ist der Meinung, dass seine Musik zwar rau und auch verwundbar ist gleichzeitig und auch so zart und sehr ergreifend. Es ist nur einerseits rau und ist trotzdem sehr sensibel. Und gerade diese Sensibilität meinte, das ist das, was wirklich letztendlich inspirierend sein kann für die Menschen. Er meinte, es ist immer sehr einfach, nur rau zu sein und einfach aggressiv. Aber wenn man tatsächlich große Emotionalität und Subtilität und wenn man Gefühlsbetontheit mit einbeziehen kann, das macht es letztendlich interessant. Und das macht also interessante Rockmusik aus. Er sagt, dass es nicht so eine Arbeiterklasse-Ethik ist für ihn. Also ich sagte, dass seine britische Arbeiterklasse so Phänomene meinte. Nein, das ist generell der Fall. Er meinte, dass viele Leute, viele wichtige, prominente Menschen in Rockmusik sehr religiös waren. Und dass es darum ging, dann ihre innere Dämonen zu bekämpfen. Und as so wie Johnny Cash hat das Beispiel genannt. Und es hat mit der Klassenschicht und mit diesem Klassenumfeld eigentlich nichts zu tun, sondern einfach nur mit der Authentizität ihrer Musik. It's I mean, on the one hand, you've got this bit like Johnny Cash in a way. You've got this mainstream appeal, but you're not mainstream. That's the impression I get. I mean, you're still not mainstream. You're still kind of indie, really, aren't you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we're mainstream actors of these days. No, I would say we're in this funny territory, really, at the moment. I would say, well, in the UK, surely, I think we're in a very, very strange place. We're not underground, we're not overground. We're somewhere in between the crack, getting, you know.
Do you feel comfortable in that position, or would you prefer to?
I think I was always most comfortable in the underground, as it were. But as with everything has a time, really, and a place. And we spent a long time playing in the underground scenes and doing that, and I think, you know, I don't feel like we're really there anymore, but I certainly don't feel like we're on the other side. I'm still kind of searching for where I really feel like I'll be comfortable, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe songwriting's about not being comfortable, you know, and not really knowing where you are with it, but it's a harsh reality that I'm not really sure where I want to go with it at the moment.
I suppose it doesn't really matter as long as it stays authentic, which it's likely to do, isn't it? You're not going to start collaborating with Dr. Luke or something, are you?
Well, what's authentic? Tell me what's authentic.
Well, I mean, you come over as just being like the embodiment, you know, of the authentic art. You know what I mean? Where you never get the impression, if you listen to your music, that you're deliberately trying to make a hit single. I mean, if it's...
No, I mean, yeah, but authenticity is a funny one, really, you know, because people often talk about this, you've got to stay real and, you know, not get, you know, lost, get your head out your ass or whatever. But, yeah, that's true to a point. But on another end, when does that end? What is authenticity? And some great music's come from people losing it and, you know, going off on their own tangents and completely, you know. So I'm not convinced that being real is really just that much of a thing that's really as important to me as it's always been.
Yeah, but if you're actually staying true to yourself...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, because, I mean, then you can do something really wild and really potty, but as long as it's what you really want to do...
Well, exactly, I think that's what I'm trying to get at, maybe, is that what is true to myself might not necessarily in the future be what people would think is real, but as long as it's true to me, I'm, you know...
So people think you're selling out absolutely dreadfully, but you'll be staying true to yourself.
Yeah, that's probably possible. You know, but that's, yeah. I think that's the thing, that's the interesting thing about being a musician and having a career. I had a plan up to a point, you know, on the first two records, I certainly had a plan. I knew what I wanted to do. I cemented a style that I kind of was developing on the first record with the second one, and once I did that, I stopped because I felt I'd done everything, said everything I wanted to say. And then to come back to it, I really don't know where I'm going with it now, and that's exciting for me, you know.
Okay. Ja, Jamie sagt, dass ursprünglich wirklich aus dem Underground-Umfeld kam. Sie haben sehr viele Zeit verbracht, wirklich, also indem sie in Clubs gespielt haben, wo es wirklich richtige Indie-Clubs waren im engen Sinne. Und dann haben sie natürlich, hat Jamie zu einem gewissen kommerziellen Erfolg erzielt, aber er meinte nicht wirklich überragend. Es ist jetzt irgendwie so ein Zwischending. Man kann nicht wirklich von Mainstream-Erfolg reden, aber man kann auch nicht vom Underground-Status reden. Und er weiß eigentlich im Moment nicht so richtig, wo er hingehört. Und er sagt, es ist ein schwieriges Thema, Authentizität. Man vermutet, dass er authentischer Künstler ist, aber er meinte, was heißt das in Wirklichkeit? Also vielleicht hat er Lust, irgendwas extrem kommerziell Ausgerichtetes zu machen. Heißt es, dass er dann nicht mehr ein echter Künstler ist? Und er sagt, letztendlich muss man sich selbst nur treu sein und das nur wirklich machen, was man will. Und wenn man diese Kriterien erfüllt, dass man wirklich seine eigenen Wünsche erfüllt, dass man macht, was man möchte, dann ist man sich selbst treu und dann ist man authentisch, auch wenn andere Leute das dann anders sehen. So we're going to hear another song from the Carry On The Grudge album. Now, Don't You Find, which is one of the first singles of the album, of course. Wir hören jetzt noch ein Stück von Carry On The Grudge. Here's jetzt Don't You Find. Don't You Find von Jamie T. Von dem Album Carry On The Grudge, and Jamie is by me im Studio. And when it comes down to how prolific you are in terms of songwriting, I read that when you were actually writing songs for this album, it was about 180 songs, and then it was narrowed down to like 12. I mean, is that an extreme case of 180 songs? Is that typical for you?
That's extreme,
An extreme case.
I mean, I write a lot. On a day-to-day, but I would never normally write that many songs for a record. It would normally get up to about 90, I would say.
Right, okay.
But it's it's a confusing thing to say at some point, in some ways, because when I write 180 songs, they're just sketches of ideas. And I think people kind of think that they're all finished. They're not. They're just recorded songs and ideas that I tend to write incredibly quickly in that circumstance. So but two verses and a chorus, maybe a bridge if you're lucky, and then I'll move on. But it doesn't mean I've gone... The real work starts after that, you know, really going into the lyric and rewriting it. So I can write incredibly quickly, but to finish songs, it takes me a lot longer.
Er hat immer sehr viele Songs geschrieben, die nicht alle dann veröffentlicht werden. Es heißt, für dieses Album hat er 180 Songs komponiert. Aber er meinte, das ist ein bisschen übertrieben, weil letztendlich sind es nicht wirklich vollständige Songs, die fertig ausgearbeitet worden sind, sondern eigentlich nur Skizzen. Und Grundideen, das fällt ihm auch sehr leicht. Aber einen Song richtig fertig zu kriegen, das ist was anderes. Und normalerweise wird er nicht so viele Songs auf einmal schreiben. Right, so, I mean, would you like to kind of go down in history as being this great social commentator? Or do you want to go down in history as being just a great songwriter? Or do you think about that? What kind of legacy do you want to have?
Well, I think as with most artists, whenever someone used to say to me, you know, or used to kind of put the social commentary label on me, I used to get really annoyed at it. You know, now looking back, you know, maybe I'm quite happy I got given that at the time. So I don't know what I want to go down in the end, but I'm sure still find myself stubborn enough whenever anyone says I am something, I'll disagree with them. So
fair enough, yeah.
So I don't know in the end, but it'd be nice to have a few more years to find out.
Okay.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Ja, also Jamie ist der Meinung, dass es ärgerlich war, dass man ihn früher als sozialer Kommentator so abgestempelt hat. Das hat ihn ziemlich verärgert. Im Nachhinein denkt er, vielleicht war es eigentlich ganz, ganz hip und ganz cool, dass man ihn so gesehen hat. Und er weiß gar nicht, wie er wirklich betrachtet werden möchte. Und wenn die Geschichtsbücher geschrieben werden, wie er dann tatsächlich eingetragen wird als was für ein Songwriter. Aber er meinte, klar, es ist ihm wichtig, dass er seine Spuren hinterlässt. Right, so, what do you want to hear to finish off then?
From the album?
Yeah.
I really like Turn on the Light.
Right, okay. Cool. So, Chuck, now, Turn on the Light, hören wir jetzt zum Schluss von dem Album Carry on the Grudge von Jamie T. Well, thanks very much for talking to me, I appreciate that.
Oh, no, thank you.
And, yeah, have a good time tonight.
I will, thank
okay.
you.
Okay, so wir hören jetzt Turn on the Light von Jamie T. vom Album Carry on the Grudge. Das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville, mein Studiogast Jamie T. Ja, ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.